Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends at Naked Vine. Located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri. Serving up all your finest wine, whiskey, tequila, and local craft beers. Stop by and visit them for some great live music this week. On Thursday, April 11th, Phil Wright and Carson Mann will be out there. On Friday, April 12th, The Scandaleros. And on Saturday, April 13th, Diesel Island. You can find all this and more at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I return to Naked Vine with my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase on May 14th with Billy Crogan and Tony Compton of Les Gruff and the Billy Goat, along with Karen Choi. Do not miss that show. It's going to be a great night. $5 at the door, 7 o'clock start. Again, we do that every second Tuesday of the month. So join us at Naked Vine. Also want to tell you about my friends at Joseph Meyer Club. Head on over to josephmeyerclub.com right now and try out their brand new foaming aftershave. You can try it with an exclusive 20% off at checkout using my promo code RPPJMC20 during checkout. So remember, there's always free shipping on that. So give it a try. Tell them Shane sent you. All right, everybody, enjoy the show. Thank you.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, y'all, this is Tony Campanella, new signee for Gulf Coast Records, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with Tony Campanella. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thank you for having me, brother.
This is exciting. We have a whole lot going on to talk about. Brand new record. We got a big release party. Exciting times for sure. So, but I want to start, I kind of told you a little bit, but I want to say a formal apology and a thank you also for, we did one of these before, and it was the early days of me like doing it by myself. I was kind of telling you, and so I appreciate you giving me an opportunity back then when I really didn't know what I was doing, and and believing in me then, so thank you for the opportunity then. And I was listening back to that today, and I was like, man, I was like, it was pretty rough for me. Like, I just feel like, again, I'm sure everybody goes through it. You know, we all start somewhere.
Yes.
But you know, it's like mine's all documented. And it's like, so it's like, it's kind of tricky to like go back and listen to some of those. And for me, and it's like, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. I like, what, you know, and that kind of stuff. But oh well, move on. Yeah.
The only way you get better is to do it.
Right.
So
I've done it a couple of times now. About
600 since then.
Yeah, something like that. Yes, and that's so crazy too. Like to look at, like, I think about that like it was the other day, you know. Like,
yeah.
I just forget like the time. I just go just living life, and then I looked at that was like almost 4 years ago.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So which is crazy to think about. So.
Well, we are definitely in a situation where there's less ambient noise this time.
Oh, yes.
no motorcycles rubbing in the background.
Yeah, hey, man, it's early. You never know. We still got...
No, that's true. Right. That's true. Yeah. My wife will be home shortly.
but yeah, man. Anyway, I'm excited to be back here hanging with you and catching up. Like I said, it's been a while since we chatted. And but we do have this record. Like I said, I want to get right into this. We have the big release party. If you haven't got tickets, you need to go do it today.
Get it quick.
Because there's not many left. If there is any left, I don't, you know, who knows? It could, by the time you hear it, it might be already too late. But check out blueberryhill.com, I think, the website.
Yeah.
You head over there, Ticketmaster, and you get tickets. But April 19th, Blueberry Hill Duck Room.
Yes, sir.
Tony Campanella CD release party.
Yeah, so we will have Odds Lane opening And then we'll go on, probably, they'll go on about 8, we'll go on about 9, and we're going to do about a 90-minute set, and then we will obviously have CDs and t-shirts available for sale that night. We have, this is kind of a Gulf Coast Records promotional thing also. Mm-hmm. So Odds Lane has also recently been signed to the label. I feel very fortunate that I was the first guy they signed when Mike and Guy started the label. Mike being Mike Zito.
Yeah, man.
He's kind of got a name around town.
Yeah, right.
We go back a long way, Mike and I.
You, yeah, I mean, that's got to feel real good to get that call. Like, what's that like when Mike and Guy?
Well, so, like I said, Mike and I go back probably 25 years. We were both young guys, kind of working the same scene, and Mike was living in St. Louis at the time, and I can remember the night I met him. We were playing, we had played down in Soulard at 1860, and I was living in North County at the time, and there was a bar on the way home, a 3 o'clock bar between downtown and North County called On Broadway Bistro. And it's legendary or infamous, however you want to look at it, but stopped in there on the way home from our gig, and you know, we got there late. It was probably 2 o'clock, so the band was into their last set, and walked in and kind of heard music going and really didn't pay attention, and kind of standing at the bar having a couple drinks, and this was right about the time that Pearl Jam 10 was getting hot, and the band starts into Alive. And so I'm hearing it, and it gets to the end, the big rock and solo passage at the end, and I hear this guy just killing this thing. And so then my ears did perk up, but I kind of turned, and I walked into the back room where the band was, and it was Mike, and he was killing it. And I'm like, wow, we're like close in age. We kind of got the same vibe, playing wise.
Right.
So we talked that night, and we kind of struck up a conversation. And we were friends ever since. And, you know, time had gone by, and I guess maybe 4 or 5 years ago, Mike came to me when he first started producing stuff, not just performing. He was getting into producing records. And he came, we talked, we've been talking about this for 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And it just never seemed to work out. More ambient noise. It never seemed to work out. And then he started this label, and I saw him at the Stevie Ray Vaughan tribute this year, because he's doing that show with Steve Picaro and I now. And he said, hey man, I'm starting this label. I want you to sign. I want you to be the first guy we sign. And so it took me about 30 seconds.
Right.
And so we did it. And it seemed like everything then just started tumbling in place. And literally it was signed, and then set the recording schedule. And I flew down to Mike's studio at the beginning of February, and we did 11 songs in 2.5 days, and I flew home.
Yeah.
So it was boom, 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 get it done. But I think what we got sounds fantastic. It's a really good sounding record.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so you got to, everything Mike produced all of it in studio with you and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Mike's a very good producer. He's got a very good... A couple things. And I will preface this by saying this is my first, like, real recording experience. Actually being in a real studio with a producer and not just some friends who bought some recording gear and said, come in my basement, we're going to record you.
Yeah.
So, to work with him, though, he's got a great ear. He came up even with my originals that we recorded. He had some ideas to just little tweaks, little changes that really kind of made them what I was hearing in my head, but wasn't necessarily coming out. Yeah. He was able to get it there. And he kept us on task, which is probably the biggest job of a producer is to make sure that you're producing.
Yeah.
Yes. You got to be in there working. So, you know, he wasn't by any means, cracking the whip, but he made sure that we were staying on task and in a very fun-loving kind of way. But we had a lot to do in a short amount of time, and we pulled it off.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So the record is Taking It to the Street, which, again, you can pick up a copy at the show on April 19th, or you can pre-order right now today. Head over to TonyCampanella.com.
Yes, sir.
And you can get it. We have, like I said, t-shirts also available for pre-order. And but let's go ahead and put the title track in there.
Okay.
Let everybody get to hear this one. Again, Taking It to the Street. I noticed Mike wrote this one, right?
Yeah. So this was one that Mike had written kind of when we decided to do the record. And it really kind of ties into kind of what's happening with me musically right now.
That's what I felt like. Yeah, I was listening, like, it almost, even though Mike's lyrics, but it almost tells your story too.
Yes.
Felt...
It's slightly biographical, autobiographical. Well, biographical since he wrote it. but it's probably the most rockin' of, you know, if the whole record is blues rock, but we kind of work the whole gambit in between the two. But Taking It to the Streets is definitely the most rockin' of the bunch. We'll be right back.
Fun song for sure. I'm excited to watch you guys doing it all live. You were saying Odds Lane's opening, but they are also your rhythm section for the night and for yes. and for now and everything. Yeah. You guys been doing? How long have they been with you now?
Well, it's a pretty new thing.
Yeah.
Actually, we just started playing together when we started rehearsing for the show.
Yeah.
So, but I've known Doug and Brian since, ironically, they were playing with Mike.
Right.
Way back in the day.
Yeah, they recorded on that Blue Room, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I know that they're great players. And it's kind of a synergistic thing with the record label, and we're both on the label, and it's a good showcase
definitely
for both bands and the label, and it's going to be fun and exciting.
Yeah, and like I said, kind of all in the family, Zito, part of it all, and all, it's like it's cool to see you guys all working together, the big group effort team and everything. So I think it's really exciting, and the fact that you guys are getting to kind of represent St. Louis doing it and stuff is going to...
Yes.
It's really cool.
Yeah, I am forever indebted to Mike for this opportunity to even have a chance at... After 30 years of knocking around the bars in St. Louis, that I have a chance to make a record and take it to the street.
Yeah, man, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's is so. I mean, I'm not to like you're saying. Like it's a long time in the making.
Yes,
this
took me 30 years to be an overnight sensation. Right.
But what do you? I mean, I'm sure all that factors into it, though. I mean, like you're saying, like I'm sure you probably wanted to do a record before and all the different things, but it's like. I feel like everything kind of happens in the right time,
Yes,
so like it all kind of clicks for a reason.
I firmly believe that myself. That things had to happen the way they're happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here now.
Yeah.
So
now we got this record and you in the obviously Gulf Coast and everything else going is that kind of the next move? Is it kind of wanting to get out there on the road and showcase more of all the...
Yes. So we will be planning some road stuff for the summer and fall. Can't say what that's going to be yet.
Sure.
But there will be some finally getting out on the road and doing some road gigs and seeing what people think of it.
Yeah, man. I think that's very exciting. Like, I mean, I've never played in a band or anything, but I've, talked to enough of these guys, but like, I just think that'd be so much fun, hitting the road with some buddies and getting to play your music for new crowds every night and stuff. I mean, like, that's just, sounds like it's exciting.
Yeah, it's something that if you're a musician, you gotta experience it at least once.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people love it, some people don't. But I have to go out and see what it's like.
Yeah.
And this is my opportunity to do it.
Yeah. Hopefully Tony Campanella coming to a town near you.
Yeah.
So get involved on the website. We got Facebook and all that.
Facebook, Tony Campanella, St. Louis Mo.
Yep. So maybe keep an eye out for some tour dates for the summer and fall and all that, whatever. Yeah. So, but let's. I want to kind of get more into this the recording process. Obviously, you know, like I said, it was your first time and things. And you recorded down in Texas with Mike and but is that like, do you kind of go in? I mean, obviously you've wrote a handful of these yourself and so I'm guessing you had some of these prepared and then but there's a couple of covers that you threw in here also. And like, do you have like, are those songs that you had envisioned or Mike kind of pitched those ideas? No, or
the cover stuff that we picked, some of it is stuff that I've been playing for a long time. Mm-hmm. That, like, Clean Head Blues is one of them. I mean, I'm kind of follically challenged, so it fits. Yeah. It's kind of a theme song. And then, awesome. So, but like finger on the Trigger, that's an old Albert King song. Sure. Just a song that I loved. It's not even something that I played on a regular basis, playing it live. It was just something that I thought, you know, that's I like the feel of this tune.
Mm-hmm.
So we did it.
Yeah.
And my original stuff. I've got four that I wrote on the record. That was stuff that I sent down to Mike, and the rhythm section that we used for the record is Mike's road rhythm section, Terry Dry and Matt Johnson. Very, very good players and really cool guys. So I sent that stuff down, you know, probably 3 weeks before I got to the studio. So when I came in, they were ready to roll. All
right.
The stuff that Mike and Guy wrote, we basically did it right there. And a lot of it was one take.
Yeah.
And then I went back and did some guitar overdubs, but a lot of the vocal, you know, a lot of it is as live as we could be.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that's another strange thing that it's a new experience for me.
Right.
The whole recording process, because it's not at all like playing a live show. Live, it's more of an experience. It's an overall experience. Music, what we're playing is part of that whole live experience. But when you're in a studio, it's much more under the microscope, I guess, is the best way to put it. And yeah, you're kind of playing live with the other guys in the studio, but at least for me, I had to kind of get out of my own head, so to speak, so that I'm playing from my heart and not thinking about, oh my God, what's the next note I'm gonna play, and is my timing gonna be dead on, and so you get all of this going on in your head, and it really takes some discipline to get out of your own head.
Mm-hmm.
And just realize that what you're capturing is you're capturing a moment in time. And we may play this stuff live, and I can almost guarantee you that the solo is not going to be the same as it was on the record.
Yeah.
Because it's only capturing a moment in time. So that's the biggest thing about doing the record.
Sure. Well, what you said, that's exactly what I love about music and live music especially, is that, you know, if I wanted to hear the record exactly how it is, I'll go buy the record, I'll go, you know, and I'll go listen to the record. But when I go to the live show, I like those differences. I like, you know, something special for that night in particular. You know, it's like, you're coming here. This is a one of a kind live experience. Like, yes. You're saying, like, so, it's not duplicated. This is, you know, like you're saying, this guitar solo might be close, but it's not going to be the same exact every time or whatever. It's not going to, you know, it's just live music. It's what happens.
Yes.
So I think it's great about it. And that obviously it's not new. That's why people loved, Following Around Like the Dead and all this stuff, and they got into taping all those shows and different things like that, because like those shows were always different every night kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it was like, people love that kind of stuff about it. But you know, yeah, that's what's always hooked me about live music, was just like, you got to go see the show because it's one of a kind.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So yeah, snag some tickets and join us at Blueberry Hill in the Duck Room. You're not going to want to miss this one.
April 19th.
Yeah, man.
Gulf Coast Records.
Yep. Like I said, Odds Lane opening up, kicking the party off, and then obviously they're gonna stick around and rock with you all night. And it's have you played Blueberry Hill? Have you done that?
Yes.
One?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, my wife is in the other room with the dogs right now, but that. Blueberry Hill has kind of it's special for a couple reasons. One, it used to be Cicero's Basement Bar, yeah, way back in the day. And it was literally a basement. And it smelled like a basement. And it was as tall as a basement. And when you got up on that little bandstand to play, if you over 6 foot tall, you better get your head in between the rafters.
Right.
It was one of those kind of things. But it had this basement jam kind of feel to it. So when I was like late teens, early 20s, before I started playing in bands and playing professionally, a friend of mine would go down there every Monday. They had a blues jam. So playing in St. Louis out in bars kind of started there for me.
Okay.
The other reason that it is special is because I met my wife playing a gig at Blueberry Hill.
There you go.
Night before Thanksgiving 2002. And we had Steve Picaro band and my band did a kind of a dual headliner the night before Thanksgiving there, and that's where I met my beautiful bride.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's cool to hear the history that it's got. There's a lot of significance to this room for you.
Yeah, and it's just a cool room on top of it all.
Yeah, there's some guy named Chuck Berry used to play there.
Yeah,
he's
got a little bit of a reputation.
Yeah. Pretty good guitar player, I heard.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he was kind of influential on everyone,
right?
Ever.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I got to see Chuck in that room. I think we kind of talked about it a little bit on the first one about like how it's just kind of crazy that you could do that. That we had that option that Chuck was playing there like once a month for a long time. And
I have an interesting story. My band had the great fortune of opening for Deep Purple at the Pageant. And after the show, which whenever I've done openers in the past, like, you usually don't ever even talk to the headliner.
Yeah.
You know, they got their own thing going on. Deep Purple guys were very cool. And they actually stood on the side of the stage and watched our set and shook our hands as we came off. So all of that was very, very cool. But after they did their set and we're all kind of hanging out backstage, and you got to talk to these guys who are, you know, this is British rock royalty, Deep Purple.
Oh, yeah.
But to have They have like Roger Glover come up and say, "You guys are so lucky because you can go see Chuck Berry anytime you want. Once a month, he's here." So to know that he had that kind of global influence, but we were fortunate enough living in St. Louis that we could pick mm-hmm. any month we wanted to go and see him in a 300 seat venue.
Right.
I mean, we were very fortunate.
I think somebody next to me the night I went, they were like, they came in from Canada or something, Alaska maybe, whatever, something up north, and they planned their vacation around this show and come to see Chuck, and it's a piece of rock and roll history. So
yes,
so when I think about you playing that stage and everything, like that's the stuff that I would be in my head, just like all the other people that walked on that stage like mm-hmm. that. And I mean, there's a lot of greats for sure. So that's gonna be cool. And again, like I think it is interesting. You said that it was Cicero's, and then at one time, and then Cicero's moved up the street there, and like how many all the evolution of so many different, especially Del Mar. I mean, it's crazy how much it's evolved down there. And R.I.P. To Cicero's.
Yeah,
some good times. And
and they ended up having a kind of a legendary room of their own mm-hmm. at the new place.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of good nights over there, and it was always a fun time. And so I never went to the original spot. So
yeah, you were probably 10,
right? There's a lot. Obviously, doing enough of these, you get to hear some different stories from like that. And I heard stories about like Red Sea and stuff like that. There's a couple other venues that
back in the mid 90s. The Loop was, I mean, there were a lot of clubs down there that supported the St. Louis music scene. Hmm. Red Sea being a big one, Cicero's, Blueberry Hill even. And that was even before the Duck Room, when I think they still have the Elvis Room maybe.
Yeah.
But they had live music down there, and there had to be a dozen bars down there that if you walked up and down that stretch of Del Mar,
mm-hmm.
you could pick what you wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And jazz, blues, rock, punk.
Yeah.
Take your pick.
Sure.
You were going to find it down there. So it definitely had a stretch of time where it was a pretty influential place for live music in St. Louis. I would put it up there at kind of the same level that the Landing had at one time.
Right. I do think it's really neat what they got happening right now with Blueberry Hill, Del Mar, Hall, and the Pageant, that they can kind of develop talent right there. You can play a 300 person venue, and then move up to the 800 or whatever, and then play Pageant, and it's really it's kind of a cool thing they have happening over there.
Pat Hagen and Joe Edwards did a good thing with that.
Yeah,
they kind of have a venue of every size,
mm-hmm.
What do you want? Do you want up close and intimate? Do you want a Mississippi Nights kind of feel? Or do you want the big 3,000 seat theater?
Right.
They got them all.
Yeah. Yep.
Take your pick.
Right.
Maybe one day they'll fill that Pageant thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never know.
Right. You do it once a year.
Like, once a year.
Yeah.
Rock Stars for a Night. Stevie Ray Vaughan tribute.
Yeah, man. That, which I guess I'm guessing that's happening again, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Saturday after Thanksgiving is that, kind of our, that's...
Is that like 20 years or something, or getting there, or...
It might be more than that now.
Yeah.
I've lost track.
Yeah.
I know that's awful. How many... Do you know how many years El Monstero's been doing it?
I think they're just over 20.
Okay, because if I remember correctly, we... Like... The Monstero thing and the SRV tribute thing kind of started around the same time.
Yeah, I think they're like at 20, maybe 21, 22, something like that.
Okay.
Somewhere in there. I know they obviously made a big deal about the 20th anniversary and stuff, but I tell stories like the other day, and it's been years, like saying, so.
Yeah.
It was fun. I got to talk to Kevin backstage in the production office one night right before they took the stage with El Monstero, and he kind of filled me in on some of that backstory and how that all, this whole thing kind of came to be. And you know, it's really, obviously I wasn't there at the beginning, but you know, to see what it's evolved into now, like that's a crazy show they got.
It's an amazing production.
Yeah.
You know, if you've seen or been to a Monstero show, you know they bring out a guest guitar player on Money, yeah, when they play Money. So I was fortunate enough to do that a couple years ago at one of the shows. And to walk into the pageant and onto that stage with all of that production compared to the... very minimal production that we have for the SRV tribute. I mean, it's like a different, you're in a different room.
Sure.
You're on a different stage.
Well, yeah, Stevie never, it wasn't the Flash, like,
no,
it, you know, so.
No. And what they do is unbelievable.
Right.
And it is a Pink Floyd experience.
Yeah. But yeah, all the lasers and smoke, and I mean, it's Logic running those slides. I mean, they do an incredible job, yes, with the production on that. It's insane what they create there in that room. And you know, the amphitheater show is a whole lot of fun. This year they're doing it with the symphony, which is going
to
be...
Well, we saw, wild. My wife and I went to see that. It wasn't last summer, was it? I can't remember.
Well, they did. I think last summer they did with the Here Come the Mummies.
Oh, that was the Mum. So it was two summers ago.
Yeah.
Out at Riverport, Hollywood, yeah, what,
right,
whatever it's, Verizon.
It's always Riverport.
Whatever it is. It's always Riverport to, right, me.
Yeah.
But we went out and saw that show, and I was blown away.
Yeah.
I was just blown away by, it's almost surreal because, you know, I went to high school with Kevin, so mm-hmm, I've known Kevin Gagnepain for a long time, and Jimmy, and Mark, and John. I've known those guys for a long time, and as just being other local guys playing.
Yeah.
And you see them up on that big stage with that big production, and it's like, wow. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, man. You getting any production for your show?
No. We'll be lucky to have stage lights, yeah, on.
Right.
Yeah. No pyrotechnics, yeah, no lasers, no video.
Right.
Just my big ass bald head.
And some face melting going on.
And some guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you need. Yep. Well, let's see. I totally forgot, but we were gonna drop in another one. Let's drop in You Don't Know.
Yeah.
Let's give him a taste of this one. Appears as track 4 on this record, Taking It to the Streets. You have anything else to add around You Don't Know?
This is one that I wrote. And where Taking It to the Streets is a very, very rockin' song. This one is more... It's got a little more funk feel to it. this is also a song that features Louis Stevens, legendary piano Hammond B3 player, played with Freddie King for most of his career. I think he started with Freddie when he was like 18.
Oh, wow.
Playing Hammond and piano. And so he is featured on several of the tracks on the record. And this was one of the songs that we talked about earlier where Mike did just a little bit of tweaking. I love the way that this version turned out, and the little tweaks that he made really sound good. Mm-hmm. I was really, really impressed with this one. So give this one a listen.
Yeah, man. Any talking about doing any music videos with these or anything like that?
Nothing in the works right now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that it will never happen.
Sure.
I think first things first, we gotta sell some CDs.
Yeah.
And you know, this is the business part of the music business. If we get sell some CDs, then we get to make another record.
Yeah.
So go out there, TonyCampanella.com. Right. Buy your disc.
Yeah.
Buy your CD there. And then who knows? I doubt that we'll do a video for this record, but if I'm fortunate enough to make a second one, then, you know, then sure. We can look at.
Are you already, I'm guessing you already got ideas going for mm-hmm. number two?
Yes. Yeah, doing some writing.
Yeah.
And I want to have some stuff ready to go in with my thinking being that we're going to do well with this one.
Yeah, man.
And I'll be able to make a second one. So
I'm sure, a lot of people excited. I mean, it's like you're saying, been a long time coming. So I wanted to kind of get into also talking about some of your gear that you're going to
sure.
play with. I don't know a whole lot about this stuff, but I know a lot of my friends, they love hearing this kind of talk. And that's what I'd like to do with the show. I like to learn. What kind of setup do you take out on the stage today?
Well, I will preface all of this for the guys who actually know
right.
this stuff that I don't really know it. If I plug in and sound comes out, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
But I've always liked. I've got a 65 Super Reverb. That's my desert island amp. Sometimes I'll run that with a Marshall. I've got a 50 watt Marshall 412 cab. Sometimes I'll run it with, I've got a Vibraverb, Fender Vibraverb, which is basically a super with 115 instead of 410s. I have a bunch of pedals yeah. in front of me. I use probably three of them regularly. Everything else that's on the board is kind of just there for texture, if you will.
Right.
When you're in a three-piece band and you've got a lot of room to fill, sometimes you need that stuff. But mainly, you know, I use a full drive for my overdrive. I've got two delay pedals. One that's kind of set to more of a David Gilmour, Carlos Santana kind of time. And then I've got another one that's set to kind of a good old-fashioned kind of country slapback, real quick response. And I use a wah. And on occasion, I don't use that as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got kind of a Leslie simulator rotosim pedal that I use when I don't have a keyboard player, which is most times.
Yeah.
So when I want that kind of Leslie Hammond B3 sound, I've got something that'll do that.
Like you said with Mike, you know, kind of hearing him play and stuff. Do you still when you're out and you hear somebody play something, you're like, man, how's it? You know, how do you get that sound? What do you get into that stuff, or
I'm not really a gearhead.
Yeah.
It's and part of it is because I'm comfortable with what I have,
sure.
and I don't know enough about it to be a tinkerer. Yeah. Where I'm, let's take this pedal off and put this one on and see what it does. Like, I like what I got is good.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, unless it breaks, I don't really feel the need to tinker.
Sure.
But the other thing is that what I've learned over a long period of time is tone is, most of it is in your hands.
Yeah.
It's in the hands of the player. Because I can pick up, like, Obed Khan, his legendary tone, okay? He's legendary tone in St. Louis. But I can pick up and his guitar on his rig and play through it, and I'm not going to sound like Obed because mm-hmm. a lot of that tone is in Obed's hands.
Yeah.
It's going to sound like me because my tone is in my hands.
Yeah.
So it I don't know. Yeah. Just like I said.
Sure.
Plug it in. If sound comes out, I'm good.
Right. As you're saying that, a story popped in my head. I had the unique privilege to sit and chat one time with Radio Rich Dalton.
Oh, yeah.
On that show. And I'm a huge fan of his and everything he's been a part of in St. Louis for 50 years, whatever. Yeah, right. And so I got to hang with him one night on the show, and we got to talking, and I was already super nervous anyway, you know, like I said, very big fan. And for him to, like, especially doing a radio show, essentially, you know, kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
And he's trying to help me out. I mean, you know, all of it was, he was just trying to help the best he could, and I was like, man, you're talking, you know, way over my pay grade. Like, I was like, I know how to make this sound, this work for me, what I have, you know, it's like, I don't know what you're saying, like, you, like, so. And he's like, he could read my, that I was getting nervous, that you know, like, and he's like, so anyway, we end up making it work. But like I'm kind of like how you are, like, as if I can get to record and it sounds okay, I'm good. Like, I don't know, he was saying all these other stuff, there's different, are you doing this? I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Yet.
You're talking Chinese yeah, to me right now.
So but we made it work, and I had a great time. But that was he's one of the best, for sure.
He is a legendary voice in St. Louis radio, yep. Without question.
But I don't really get into the gear stuff, but I know a lot of people that are, but that's what's fun about doing this show, is it allows me to kind of learn a little bit, you know, step into some of that world that I don't know anything about,
yeah.
And stuff. So it's a lot of why I still do this show, is getting to meet all these people and kind of learning some of that stuff. So
there's so much out there,
right?
Too. There's so much gear out there.
Yeah. Well, you we've said it 100 times probably, but this is going to be a huge night, and I mean, that's why we're making a big deal about it. And we want you to come out and join us at Blueberry Hill in the Duck Room on April 19th. Like I said, music's starting around 8 o'clock and with Odds Lane. And if you don't know those guys, definitely go check them out too. They got some really great stuff of their own, and they're also on the Gulf Coast Records now, so check them out.
Yes.
And snag some tickets, and if you haven't,
get them quick.
Yeah, if you haven't got the pre-order, you can grab all that at tonycampanella.com. Snag the CD, t-shirt, everything else we get, and then
CDs, t-shirts, got a CD t-shirt combo if you want.
There you go.
And I did want to say before we go, I just wanted to tell you thank you for everything you do for live music in St. Louis and promoting the St. Louis music community, because there's nobody else out there doing it.
Thanks,
so, man. Thank you.
I've said it a bunch on throughout the show, but like I have the time of my life doing this, man. Like, I mean, I've met some of the coolest people, made lifelong friends, people that I would have never met if I didn't have the show. So, like, I mean, the first time we talked really was on the show. So, like, it's a great example, you know. So,
yes.
So I've been having a ton of fun getting to, you know, make all kinds of new friends. People say it a lot, but it's, you know, it goes both ways. I'm having a ton of fun doing it, so it's easy to do when you're, you know.
That's what music should be, brother.
Yeah, man. But that's what, you know, I get people sometimes, they'll, like, comment on the different things, the list, and I'm like, you know, I'm not to be mean about it all, but I feel like, make your own list. Like, we should all be talking to keep the conversation going all the time. Like, why am I, you know, I shouldn't be the only one. And we shouldn't, I mean, like, it's cool that people come looking for it. And, but like, you know, make your own list, do your own thing. Let's just keep talking about St. Louis music as much as we can and let everybody know we have something really incredible happening here.
We are all very fortunate in this town.
Yeah.
To have the kind of diverse music scene that we have here, and that as musicians we can play in this town and actually make a couple dollars. I know guys playing in LA, and I know guys playing in Nashville where they're playing for tip money every night. We are fortunate here that while the number of live music bars seems to keep decreasing, the ones that are out there are still very supportive of live music, and the people that are coming out to hear it have always been very supportive. So you're one of those guys, and you help keep this thing going. So thank you, brother.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate that, brother. Let's get out of here. This has been a ton of fun. I really appreciate you doing this again.
Love it.
So thank you again for the opportunity. We'll see you all April 19th.
April 19th, buddy. Duck Room.
Oh, yeah.
Go get your tickets.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.
Rock, Paper, Podcast.
Rock, Paper, Podcast.
Rock, Paper, Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.